Good evening. It's wonderful to see all of you. Wonderful to be with you. If you take out your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs. Turn to the book of Proverbs. That's where we're going to be doing the majority of our study this evening, in the book of Proverbs. Really good to see all of you. Very grateful that you found the strength to get out of your recliners this Sunday afternoon, as I'm sure all of you were comfortably resting in, and come here little old me. So I very, very much appreciate that. And very glad to be here to worship God with you this evening. I pray that all of you had a wonderful holiday week last week. Thanksgiving, which is the favorite holiday of all of the pure in heart, was last week. And it's now behind us. And as is nearly always the case, very quickly after Thanksgiving concludes, the next holiday season begins, usually in a tent at 3 a.m. outside Best Buy. The Christmas season. Truly, the Christmas season is upon us. And truly, the Christmas season is a season of spending. And while I'm sure that not everybody here celebrates this season the same, some celebrate it extravagantly, some celebrate it moderately, some here don't celebrate it at all. We don't celebrate this season the same. But I'm willing to bet that the vast majority of us who are here we'll find ourselves at some point over the next month in a store exchanging money in order to get gifts back. It truly is the season of spending. Dollars and cents will exchange hands this coming month at a rate at which this country has never seen. Literally, we've never seen a rate that we're expected to see this season. They're expected to increase 5.4% more this year than all other years. There are some other rough estimates that we get about how much money is going to be spent over the next month. There's been, if you talk to the people who know, it's expected that we'll spend $465 billion over the next month as Americans. And if you talk to other people who know, all the numbers are rough, so I'm not quite sure what it is, but they say about $1,000 will be spent per person this holiday season. Truly, we are in a season of spending. And let me tell you why I bring that up. Because it is very tempting for us in this season of spending to believe that the spending we do is completely disconnected from our walk with Christ. It's very easy to think that our financial transactions have nothing to do with spiritual things. But if you read your Bible, you see very clearly that nothing could be further from the truth, that God actually cares a lot about the choices that we make with our money. He cares what you do with your money in a store. He cares what you do with your money on Amazon Prime. This passage that we read at the very beginning, Luke 16 and verse 10. The Bible says this, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" God cares about what we do with our money. He wants us to be good stewards of the financial blessings that He's given to us in His life. And He doesn't just say He cares about it, but He actually says in those verses that the way we handle our financial blessings says a lot about how we would handle eternal life if God would give it to us. God cares about what we do with our finances. And so during this season of spending especially, we need to be careful that we practice good stewardship with our financial blessings. And so thankfully in the book of Proverbs, God has dispensed wonderful wisdom about how we ought to use our dollars and cents. And so what I'd like to do this evening is real quick, I'd like to give you four Proverbs that should guide our spending during this holiday season, that should help us be good stewards of the blessings that God has given to us. Four quick Proverbs that will guide our spending this holiday season, and then the transactions will be yours. So four quick Proverbs, real quick this evening. The first one is Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11, starting in verse 24, where the Bible says this. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. And I think that's an especially important proverb for us to remember to guide our decisions during this season of spending. You know, further on in this lesson, we're going to talk about how sometimes our spending needs boundaries. And there are some things we ought to appreciate, some self-control we ought to exercise, some restraint we ought to recognize. But the very beginning this evening, what I want us all to recognize is this very foundational thing about our spending. And that is this, that giving is really a great thing. That giving is good for us. In verse 25, Solomon says, the generous man will be prosperous. He goes on to say that the one who waters will himself be watered, which is a beautiful image. The person who goes out of his way to make sure other people are blessed by him is going to find that other people come along and bless him as well. The people who give are the people who are given to. The generous man will be prosperous. Giving is a good thing. And while it's important for us to appreciate that disclaimer we always have to make when we're in the book of Proverbs, right? That these are general rules about life and that there are some circumstances where this is not the case, right? You may have a very, very wicked man who tends to give a lot of money to charity and God may not prosper him because he's punishing him for his wickedness. Or it may be that you are very generous, but God doesn't prosper you because he wants you to learn to trust him or something like that. There are exceptions to this rule, but we ought to appreciate that this is a general rule in life, that the people who are generous, the people who give, are the people who are blessed by God. Good things happen to us when we give. Giving is good for us. I want you to appreciate this, that when we give, good things happen to us emotionally. You ask anybody who's a very generous person by nature, by habit, and they'll tell you this very clearly, that giving feels good. That giving is good for you spiritually. It makes you feel very, very good. Brother Bowman always had this wonderful piece of advice. We're going to quote Brother Bowman twice today. I love that. Brother Bowman always had this wonderful piece of advice for anyone who would come into his office and they were feeling down about life. They were missing joy. They didn't feel very good about where they were. They just weren't happy. He would always say, you want to feel good about yourself? Go out and do something for someone. Giving makes us feel good emotionally. It benefits us. And I want you to appreciate this too, that giving benefits us relationally. There are few things that build goodwill between two people more than a good gift that is given. If you remember the story of Jacob and Esau, you remember that the way that Jacob greeted his estranged brother after all of those years was with a caravan of gift after gift after gift after gift. And you may remember that the friendship, the wonderful godly friendship that was forged between David and Jonathan was forged by a gift that Jonathan gave to David, his robe and his bow and his sword and his belt. Gifts benefit us relationally. You want to find out how true that is? Don't get your wife anything for Christmas. Gifts improve our friendships, our family relationships, our marriages. And don't just take my word for it. You look in the book of Proverbs, you see that's true. In Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18 and verse 16, Solomon tells us very, very clearly this, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. When we give, it does good things for us relationally. And ultimately, the point of the proverb that we read, Proverbs 11, we need to realize this, that good things happen to us financially when we give. That God providentially blesses those who are generous in spirit and in behavior. It is true what our Lord said, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. The generous man prospers because God makes sure that he prospers. God wants him to prosper because ultimately generous people are like God. Because that's who God is. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And when he sees people on this earth who love to give gifts, who are always doing things for other people and being very generous with what they have, he sees in them a spirit that is similar to his own spirit. He is a God who gives gifts. And so when we give gifts, we become like him, and we're blessed for it. And so understand that in this season of spending, it's important for us to remember that it is good for us to give gifts. That if we're going to be good stewards of the financial blessings God has given to us, that means we need to be giving people, generous people. That's good stewardship of God's gifts. It's good to give, but we need to appreciate something else as well. We need to appreciate this second proverb that we read in Proverbs chapter 27 in verse 23. Not only is it good to give, but we have to appreciate that giving needs to come with certain limits and certain boundaries. In Proverbs 27 in verse 23, the psalmist will say, the proverbial writer will say this: know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. In this verse, Solomon tells the farmer to make sure that he has a good understanding of the condition of his flocks. He says, I want you to assess your wealth correctly. You need to know how many sheep you have. You need to know how many goats you have. You need to know whether they're healthy or unhealthy. You need to know the condition of your flocks, and you need to know it well. And why exactly is it so important for us to know the condition of our flocks? Because knowing exactly what you have helps you make wise decisions about how to use what you have. Knowing what you have helps you make wise decisions about how to use what you have. In the verses following that, we see just how true that is. Look at the verses following that, starting in verse 24. Dawn, you with us? You know, I know that sometimes men of your age tend to doze off at this time of day. I just wanted to make sure. Proverbs 27, starting in verse 24. Notice what he says. Notice how this man is benefited because he knows the condition of his flocks. He says, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. And there will be goat's milk enough for your food, and for food for your household, and sustenance for your maidens. Notice what he says there. He says, because the farmer knows what he has, he knows the condition of his flock, it keeps him from making decisions that he's going to regret. It keeps him from making decisions that leave him financially insecure. It keeps him prepared and secure for what may come in the future. Because he knows exactly what he has in his flocks, he will always have enough to clothe his family, to purchase what he needs, and to feed those who depend on him. That wisdom is clear and straightforward, isn't it? We can see the parallel to our own life. And that wisdom should guide us as we spend this holiday season. Just as the farmer needs to know the condition of his flock before we go off spending a bunch of money, buying all these gifts this holiday season, we need to know the condition of our bank account. We need to correctly assess the wealth that we have. We need to know exactly what we have so that we never spend so much that we regret our spending. We need to know how much we have, so that we can always make sure that when the spending is over, we still have enough to clothe our families, purchase what we need, pay the water bill, fix the car, fix the house, feed our families, and give God what he really deserves from us. We need to know the condition of our flocks as we spend this holiday season. Wisdom begs us in this passage to spend with our eyes wide open, knowing exactly what we have, exactly what we owe, and exactly what we can spend without putting ourselves in jeopardy. Know the condition of your flocks. And I think if we're honest, guys, I think if we're really honest, sometimes we like to spend with our eyes closed. And if that's you, understand that you're in the same boat as me. Because if anyone here is guilty of spending with their eyes closed, that's me, right? And that's the idea. That's the idea that when I spend, I don't really want to know what's in the bank account. I don't really want to know how much I have. What I really want to do is I want to close my eyes. I want to buy this thing and I want to worry about the ramifications of it later. I'm not going to pay attention to how much I have. I'm just going to spend this and I'll pay for it later, right? I spend with my eyes closed. I don't want to know how much I have. When I first was living on my own, I was 20 years old in Beaumont, Texas. My parents had moved to Alabama, and I was living by myself for really the first time ever in my life. And I remember one day I went to CVS. I had to buy some household necessities. So I went to CVS. I got deodorant, shampoo, and toothpaste. And I went to the front, and my card was declined. For shampoo, deodorant, and toothpaste, which is interesting dinner conversation. If you had to pick two of the three, which you picking? I'll tell you a lot about a person. And some of you are sitting back there thinking, your problem is you went to CVS. I know. But it was very clear to me what happened. I had no idea what was in my bank account. I was spending money on Redbox DVDs and playing golf and eating out every single meal and not cooking at home and doing all these things. I had no idea what was in my bank account. I spent with my eyes closed. And as a result of that, I ended up being in need, not having what I needed to get what I needed, regretting the financial decisions that I'd made. And so wisdom begs us in this passage to live within our means, to not spend more than we have, because that puts us in a rough situation when we do. Remember what we're told in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower becomes the slave to the lender. That's what happens when we don't know the condition of our flocks. And so if we're going to be good stewards in this season of spending, we need to know well the condition of our flocks. And that's something I need to work on, and maybe you need to work on that too this season. Consider this third proverb with me too. This is not where we need to stop, but we need to appreciate this too. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible gives us this wisdom that should guide our spending this holiday season as well, where it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, I love that first phrase of that proverb. I think that's so important to us. Notice exactly what he's saying in that first phrase. Notice, first of all, that he says, honor the Lord. And I love that phrase. I love that idea. The word honor has an interesting background. Do you know what that word means? The word honor means to, it comes from the old Hebrew word kabah, which means to be heavy. And so what he says there, he says, honor the Lord. He says, treat God like he's heavy. And that's an interesting idea, isn't it? Treat God like he's heavy. Treat him like he weighs more than anything else. Treat him like he matters more than other things. Treat him with more thought, more effort, more concern than other things. Honor the Lord. Treat him like he's heavy. Treat him like he matters. But that isn't precisely what he says. He doesn't just say, honor the Lord. He says something else. He says, honor the Lord from your wealth. And so he doesn't just say, treat God like he's important. He says, use your money to treat God like he is important. And so Solomon tells us that we need to show God how important we think he is by the way that we spend our money. Use your money to benefit him. Use your money to further his purposes. Use your money to show him just how much he matters to you. That means use your money to give to the work of this church. That means use your money to take care of the poor, as God has said in many different places how important that is to him. Use your money to show God just how important he is to you. And notice this as well. This is very, very, very important that we see in this verse as well. He says to do this first. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And so if you're a farmer and you're sitting back and you're reading the Proverbs of King Solomon, that means that the first crops that come in, the first thing that you get as a result of the crops that you worked all year for, the first thing you do is you honor God with those crops. You show him how much he matters to you with the way that you use those first fruits of your harvest. What's that mean for the 21st century American Christian? That means that the first cash that we have that is available to be spent should be used to honor God. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And I think this is something that I've been very, very guilty of in the past. Especially in this season of spending, it is so easy for us to sin against that wisdom, isn't it? For many of us this time of year, the first financial priority is what? It's getting gifts for people. It's filling out that area beneath the Christmas tree with all those wonderful gifts you want to get for your family. That is the first thing that we focus on, is getting that wonderful assortment of gifts to go give to those people that we love. And once we're satisfied with the level of gifts that we've gotten for our loved ones, then God gets whatever's left over, right? And for some of us, it doesn't just become the first financial priority. For some of us, it becomes the only financial priority. For some of us, when it comes to this holiday season, we look at what we have, all the free cash that we have, and we say, we're spending it all on Christmas. We're going to spend as much as we can, every spare dollar, every spare cent, everything we find between our couch cushions, we're spending it on Christmas. It becomes the only financial priority. And it doesn't even stop there. During my study for this sermon, I found this terrifying statistic. Did you know this? That 22% of people plan to go into debt to pay for Christmas. Some people don't just spend everything they have, but even more than what they have in order to have the Christmas that they dreamed of, to give the gifts that they really want to give. Which, by the way, when we do that, keeps us from being able to follow this proverb. It keeps us from being able to honor the Lord from our wealth. Because honestly, brothers and sisters, when we go into debt to pay for Christmas, we become slaves, not of God. We become slaves of Visa and MasterCard, and that ties up our wealth. That keeps us from being able to honor God with our wealth. What we should give to God, we sacrifice to the God of Christmas present. And some of us are still sacrificing what we want to give to God to the God of Christmas past. And once again, I say this as someone who's been very guilty of violating this wisdom myself, but we need to appreciate this, brothers and sisters, in this season of spending. We need to remember this, that God should get more than our financial leftovers. And there are two very, very important applications to take away from that. This month, please, please, don't let your contribution to the work of this church take a hit so that Christmas can be even more spectacular. Please. And secondly, don't withhold from the poor, from those who don't have what you have, from those that you could help, so that you can use every spare dollar to store up trinkets. There's no wisdom in that. And so this holiday season, it's important for us to be good stewards of the blessings we've been given. And so from our wealth, let us honor God first. It's important for us to appreciate that sometimes the reason we fail to follow the wisdom of this third proverb is because our hearts are so well intended. We fail to honor that wisdom because we want so badly to give wonderful and precious gifts to the people that we love. We want our children to have Christmases and holidays and gifts for their birthday that they're going to remember forever. And it's important to point out that that is a beautiful desire. But it's also important to point out that for those who have that desire, we need to remember this final proverb. Proverbs 8 and verse 11, which says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." You know, that theme runs throughout the book of Proverbs. The idea that wisdom is better than any kind of pricey, precious material. It's all throughout the book of Proverbs. It's in Proverbs 8 and verse 10 and verse 19. It's in Proverbs 3 verses 14 through 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 16. Proverbs 20 and verse 15. And many more. Wisdom is more important. It's better than anything precious that's material. And it's not just wisdom that's more valuable, right? You remember what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 21 and verse 10 about the worthy woman. The worthy woman has a worth that is far above the price of what? Rubies. And I point that out to you, brothers and sisters, so that we can appreciate this very important truth this holiday season, that there are much greater gifts to give our loved ones than the trinkets that we can give them on holidays and on their birthday. There are much greater gifts to give to those that we love than the things that we can buy in a store. And my parents got me many great birthday and Christmas presents. But other than a golf club I got on my 14th birthday, I don't have any of them or use any of them. The more important gifts that they gave me were the ones that weren't made of material. Were the ones that I didn't just get on my birthday and on Christmas, but the presents that I got by what they taught me and how they raised me every single day. The most important gifts my parents gave me were the gifts that didn't cost them a dime. So the truth is, you and I may be limited as to what we can give our loved ones this holiday season as far as material possessions. But there are some wonderful gifts that we can give our loved ones that don't cost a dime. And it's so much more important to be giving those gifts. And for those of you who are sitting in this audience, and honestly, there's not really a limit on what you can do. You're kind of free. You can have the Christmas that you want because you are very financially secure. It's very important to remember that even if you don't have those financial constraints, you need to remember that there are more important gifts to be giving people than the stuff that you may buy in the store. Gifts that matter much more. And so, brothers and sisters, you can give peace and mercy and forgiveness to those people that have hurt you this year. And it won't cost you a dollar. And wives, you can give to your husband an excellent wife that he can trust in, that treats him right, that respects him. And it'll be worth far more to him than the price of rubies, and it won't cost you a quarter. And husbands, you can give to your wives a loving husband, one who nourishes her and cherishes her and cleanses her by the washing of the water of the word, and it will be better than any possession she's got in her closet. And it won't cost you a dime. And you can give to your temple terrace Church of Christ family. You can give to them a brother or a sister who is holy and faithful and immovable in their faith. And it won't cost you a nickel. And brothers and sisters, you can give to your family at home a truly exquisite gift that in you they can see during this season of spending. An example of a person who has true godly contentment. And that won't cost a cent. And it'll be the best thing they get all year. So by all means, brothers and sisters, buy the toys, buy the technology, buy the drones, buy the vacations, buy the tickets to wonderful events. Be a gift giver because that makes you like God ultimately. But be wise and remember that there are some gifts that are much more important to give than those. And make certain that you're giving those good gifts. And regardless of what you're able to give them on their birthday or Christmas or under the tree, If you're giving those good gifts, you'll be a good steward of what God has given you. So let's remember these proverbs. Let's let them guide the choices that we make. And we'll be good stewards in this season of spending. As we noted earlier at the very beginning, Jesus said in Luke 16 that we must be wise in our use of these lesser things like our money, because Jesus teaches us that how we use the lesser things proves to God how faithful we will be with the greater things. How we spend our money in part shows God how we would spend an eternal life if He gave it to us. And as Jesus says, if you're unfaithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who would give to you true riches? If we can't use our money as good stewards, if we can't use our money the way God wants us to use our money, then why? Why would God give us eternal life? Let's make sure we're good stewards this holiday season. Let's make sure we're good stewards even beyond that. Now we use our blessings. We use our blessings to honor God. And if you want to make sure, if you want to be fully assured that those greater things, that greater blessing that God has to give, that eternal life that God has to give will be yours. If you want to be assured of that, as our brother Don talked about so brilliantly this morning, then there's something you need to do for that. And maybe you're sitting in this audience and you've never done what you need to do to make sure that that you can have the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ, the washing away of your sins, and the eternal life when this life is over with God for all of eternity. The Bible tells us that to have that, what we need to do is we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to repent, change our minds about the sins we've committed that put Him on the cross in the first place. We need to be willing to confess that belief in Jesus for the rest of our days. And if we're willing to do that, then we need to be baptized in water for the remission of those sins. And all of our sins will be washed away. You'll be a new creature. You'll be fully assured that as long as you remain faithful to Him, you will have eternal life, that wonderful, precious gift when you leave this earth. If you'd like to do that, we can help you in any way. We invite you to come to the front. We'll help you while we stand and while we sing.